Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you for calling in today to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. My name is Jansen Brooks, and again, I want to welcome everybody for calling in. We have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about church leadership with Mr. Walter Williams from Alabaster, Alabama. But before we get started, let me just tell a little bit about the Council of Elders concept. It's a concept where elders in the community will try to instill wisdom and understanding to young people and help them navigate through life. And at the same time, listen to young people because they have a lot to teach us. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest today. Let me just start off by saying that Walter Williams is one of those church members who is dedicated. You know, in churches you have a lot of times people who just come to be bench warmers and show you what kind of new clothes they got and looking for a husband or a wife, and then as soon as they find that, they're gone. But today we have a gentleman that is true to the spirit of the worship of God. Walter Williams, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so, Walt, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay, for those of you in the audience, Jansen and I go back a long way. We are childhood friends. We went to the same elementary school, high school. At one time, his principal of high school was his father back in Addisville, Alabama. And after high school, we matriculated in different directions. I ended up going to Miles College in Birmingham and him to Alabama A&M in Huntsville. And from there, our lives went a whole lot of different directions. And we ended up coming back together on this long road called life.
All right. Walt, now I understand that you just graduated from a course that you took on church leadership, and tell us a little bit about the course, how you got started in it.
Well, this is not the first course that I've had in church leadership, and it's not the first course I've had in leadership throughout my life and throughout my career. My career being that in law enforcement and law enforcement executive, where at one time, I spent 22 years as chief of police of a collegiate police department, police experience going all the way from military law enforcement to municipal law enforcement to campus law enforcement. But here, during the pandemic, it brought on a lot of different changes throughout the world. And while a lot of church doors were closed, my local church at that time was closed too, and it was closed a little too long for my liking. After much prayer, our church was closed for about 20 months. And after much prayer, I was led by the Holy Spirit, from that I had been a member of since 1986, to a new church. And I definitely believe that I was led there by the Holy Spirit for no other reason but to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to take me to another level of understanding. So that's how I got to this particular program. It was part of the church curriculum that every new member go through a section of new member classes, which was about five classes, and they called them, use the acronym CLASS, CLASS, which is Christian Life and Service Seminar. And those seminars started from new members class to maturity to ministry, missions, as well as stewardship. And within that, we kind of did a survey of where you've been, what you've been doing in the local church, if you have been in the local church, what you are doing, and what gifts were manifested by the Holy Spirit that you are utilizing in that local church.
Oh, okay. And so from there till where your spiritual gifts were, which would kind of lead you to helping out in the church. And I believe yours was evangelism, prayer, and a couple of other things.
Yes, well, within that curriculum, that Christian Life and Service Seminar curriculum, in that section called ministry, there was a shape profile. Shape meaning spiritual gift, heart, ability, personality, and experience. That's why it's called my shape, and that's for each and every individual within the body. And what it does is it was a series of 100 questions, ranging from everything to what is it that you love, what is it that you spend your most time in, are you a Christian, first of all, what about the Christian life that you like, that you don't like, you know, just a broad range of questions. And then they had some values from 1 to 5 added each question, and at the end, you had to tabulate. They had another table where you tabulated the scores from grading 1 through 5 on certain abilities that you manifested. And at the end of all of that, you came up with a score, and you correlated that score against a list of spiritual gifts that had been listed prior to. And according to your answers from that, they asked for your top 3. Prior to taking the shape test, if you would say, I listed my spiritual gifts as leadership, service, and mercy. After taking the shape inventory, the initial listing that I got said that my spiritual abilities were prophecy, service, and prayer. They asked that you do it, you know, once or twice, and then see if you kind of agree with what their assessment from the inventory was, as opposed to what you thought about your gift and what you have heard others say to you about your gift as they have seen it in your life. So that's how we get to that.
Right. You know, that sounds, you know, for coming into a new church, that sounds like a pretty good plan, so that people will know what directions to go. And it sounds like they had it structured so that you could do that. And also taking the class that you took on spiritual leadership. And just talking a little bit more about that, one of the modules was church policy. Church policy. Can you give us a look, few highlights on that from your course?
Sure. You know, yes, when you, whatever, if you are a member of a church or if you are attending a local church, each and every local church is autonomous to a certain extent. And they have their own set of policies and procedures. Policies relating from anywhere to church membership. There are certain things that constitute you being a member of a church, church attendance, giving, leadership within that local body. And that's just part of the array of things that is unique to each and every church. So with me leaving from a church and coming into a new church, I didn't want to come in with any preconceived notion. And this was good that this particular church had a very good, what I think is a very good intro, so that you will know beforehand what you're getting yourself into and the thing possibly could be the right fit for you in the body of Christ.
Oh, okay. I know a another, let me just say that if anyone is listening today and they want to have a question or comment or observation, just press the number 1 on your phone, and I will let you in, and you can ask a question, make a comment, or an observation. So if you would like to join this conversation, press the number 1 on your phone, and we will we'll go from there. So they had that module talked about church policy, and there was another one that talked about managing resources. Give us a little bit of background and highlights on that module.
Managing resources, it gives you kind of an overview of the local church that you are coming into to show you what areas of ministry within that local church, trying to serve the needs of its members as well as the community in which it resides, and looking at the resources that were available, basically spiritual resources from all kind of classes to help develop a person spiritually. We understand that this is a physical world, but if you have gone through any formal education at all, be it public or private, you know that the body, the physical body, is a three-part spiritual body, as well as you got the mental portion of the consciousness all wrapped up within the spiritual body. So, you know, it kind of gives leeway to a fully understanding of the resources that are available within yourself, the resources available within those around you in that local body, and the resources that are pooled together in that local body to be a help for the body as well as for those around the body.
Oh, okay.
Resources not necessarily being just in capital, meaning in money. Yes, money is a part of everything we do in this world system. So, yes, giving, which is stewardship, is a part of that also.
Right. So the managing the resources, when I first saw the topic, I just thought about managing resources like the church facility and paying the bills of the church. And,
right. All of that is included.
Oh, okay. So this course sounds almost like something that a class that a person would take in seminary when they're going to be a minister. They would have to know about, you know, establishing church policies and managing resources. So it sounds like it was very good. Another topic. Go ahead, Walt.
Yes, you know, like you were saying, church and managing resources within the body, each member brings in certain gifts. Some people, you got, you know, you just like in the real world, you got doctors, lawyers, and chiefs, you got the same thing that comes into the church. And you bring those experiences with you to be able to be used for the body of Christ. And therefore, you will have some accountants, bookkeepers, and everything else in there. And your spiritual gift might be of that of handling money. And if that's what your spiritual gift is, then you can fit into the local church. Positions become available within that in order to help manage the resources of the local church. So it all works together.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Another topic was quality work. Quality work. Can you kind of explain what they mean by that and some highlights on that topic?
Oh, yes, quality of work, and I look at it from the worldly standpoint as well. Whenever you go into any business or you go into any organization, you want to do the best work that you can do, meaning that you want your work to shine, you want your work to be, you want to do your best. And it's no different in the body of Christ. Christians are not judged on the world standard of excellence. It can be measured by financial success, but it is not awarded on base of good conduct. It's on excellence. And excellence is something that's born in the heart of a believer. Excellence can be taught, but it must be taught by a believer as an interpersonal conviction rather than taught to them by outward behavior. It's something on the inside that makes you want to do the best and be the best, you know, especially with sports now. On the sports scene, you're looking at the transition now that has happened between Jordan being the best to LeBron, LeBron being the best ball player, and now his time is giving way to some say Giannis Antetokounmpo, and some say Joel Embiid or Steph Curry, whoever. When you talk to these guys, they talk to you about excellence, being the best that you can be, working on it, you know, mindset to be the best that you can be. And it's no different in the church. You want to manifest excellence. You're looking at God the Father. He gave you his best. That's why we were, quote unquote, yet sinners, estranged from him. He sent his son to give his life to pay the price that sin required, which was the shedding of blood. And the only perfect sacrifice would be one who were not born from the seed of man. And that was from God himself. And so if he give you his best, you ought to want to give him your best. Do the best you can to represent him, because in representing yourself, you should be really representing God, because it's not about all about us. And I know a lot of people don't want to believe in that, but I'm not going to ever get into a big theological conversation or argument about that, because you will have your thoughts about it. But at the end of the day, everybody believes in something.
Right. So I like how you said that. But the bottom line is we need to, even in our Christian work and our Christian church work as well, strive to do our best and have the mindset to do our best. Am I hearing you right on that, Walt?
Absolutely, absolutely. Having the mindset of doing your best. If it's worth doing, and you heard this through our growing up, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And you heard Martin Luther King's words saying that if I'm going to be a street sweeper, I want to be the best street sweeper I can be. If I'm going to be a garbage man, I want to be the best that I can be. I want to be above reproach. I want people, when they see me, saying, wow, that's a great garbage man, because he takes pride in what he does. He makes sure that he gets up all of the trash and puts it on the back of the truck and sets the can upright rather than tossing it in the yard, talking about what we're talking about next month.
Right, right. So this class emphasize that, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. So So a part of it, go ahead, Walt.
Yeah, what we are alluding to is that whatever we do, we have to have an overall mindset. We, and then this will differ from person to person, and I'm not trying to be a spread on anything. It's a mindset. It's a walk. It's a way of life. I've tried the world view. Didn't work out too well for me. So I tried the Bible view and getting to know the Creator. And once I'm, and I'm on a journey of getting to know the Creator. And the Creator makes it easy for you to get to know him through the study of the Bible and to establish a personal relationship with the Creator. And once you do that, in my experience, it makes life a lot more enjoyable. And when you lean not to your own understanding, you can learn more and you can relate to the world from a much better standpoint.
Right, right, right. So right about that. And next we talk about accountability, Walt. That was talked about in your course. Give us a few highlights on that portion.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one right there, because that's where we are now in this world. There's a lack of accountability, and I ain't going to open up that can of worms, but you know about it yourself and everybody else there is listening. In this world, nobody wants to be accountable for their actions. They want to shift their actions on somebody else. And even in the Bible, it tells us, even from the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, once mankind rebelled against God and did what God told them not to do, eat the fruit from the tree of life, that when God asked, what have you done? The first thing that Eve did was she shifted responsibility. That serpent, where he went to Adam first, because Adam was the first person that God created. And he was most accountable for everything because God put everything under his hand. But so Adam shifted the blame that, to that woman that you gave me the fruit. And when God asked that woman, she shifted the blame to that serpent. So it's all, since that time, it's always been a blame game. So accepting responsibility. We have to be readily willing to accept responsibility for our actions. And because for every action, you were taught this in school, in your grade school, for every action, there is an equal or opposite reaction. And in life, for every action, there is a consequence, good or bad, right or wrong. And you just, you have to accept responsibility for it and move forward. There should be a teaching point in every activity of life. If not, you'll be continuing to make the same mistakes over and over again. And as we've said and heard a million times, it's insanity to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. In order to get a different result, something's got to change. Your methodology. So that's what we're alluding to in that.
Yeah, you know, Walt, I had never really thought of it the way you mentioned it. Adam, Adam shifted the blame on Eve, that woman, and then Eve shifted the blame to the serpent. And so that's the accountability portion of it. That's a very good analogy. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, so working in teams, Walt, the course talked about that. What did they have to say about that, and, you know, briefly?
Yeah, you know, I mean, even in the world today, and everybody in the corporate world knows that you've heard the little adage a million times, teamwork makes the dream work. All that means is that we work better together than we do apart, because all of our energies are headed in the same direction with a singularness of thought and purpose. And so that's what this is alluding to, working in teams. And to get anything, no man is an island. That's why God didn't just stop when he created man. When he created Adam, he didn't just stop there. He created a woman, a suitable mate, and then he told them to go out and be fruitful and replenish the earth. And so that's where you had people being born and coming together in community. Where we are now in life and in civilization is the result of teamwork. People working together on singleness of mind to accomplish certain goals. That's why you have the skyscraper buildings. You have to have people working together to build that building. Anything that you can think of, you have to have people working together, singleness of mind, and not so much of who's going to get the credit for it, but the idea is appealing to all of those who are working together, and you will have a clearly stated goal and objective, and everybody's on the same page, working for that same goal and work for that same end result. So that's what we're looking at when we're talking about working together. So it extends from inside the church as well as outside the church. And especially inside the church, you got to have singleness of mind for working for Christ. But only what we do for Christ will last. Everything else, and you see it every day passing away. We had this conversation prior to coming on the air about some of our friends who are now gone on because they have run their race in this life, and now they have moved on from this life to the next.
Right, right. Speaking of working in teams, can you think of or remember any pointers or tips that the course mentioned as how to develop more teamwork?
Oh yeah, yeah. You get people with varying abilities in order to accomplish the task at hand, and say let's bring it into the church. During my tenure in my former church, I was the general superintendent of Sunday school, so I'm called it church school. I love it. That's what lured me back into the church back in 1986. Church school, teaching, biblical principles, teaching about who God is, teaching about his plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, teaching. And so within the church school, me being the general superintendent, we have a structure, and I went over this structure with a gentleman that you introduced me to yesterday, and we found out that our church structure was similar in that it was in, let's just take the Sunday school, for example. I am the general superintendent of the Sunday school, but under me, there is a certain assistant superintendent that would be over certain levels of class participation, like adult classes, youth classes, and children classes. However number that you have in each one of those segments, there is some leadership, and there are layers of leadership. And so that's what you mean by working together. And you get input from all of those levels within putting your whole plan together to teach each one about who God is and what his plan is for our lives.
Right, right. Let me just say, if anyone has a question or comment, we're talking to Walter Williams today, particularly about his the course that he just completed recently on church leadership. Sounds like it was a great course. So if you have a question or comment, observation, press the number one on your phone, and we will you can join this conversation. And let me just go down this list of topics that you guys talked about: church policy, managing resources, quality work, in parentheses, doing your best for the Lord, accountability, working in teams, demeanor, behavior and attitude of leaders. We haven't quite got to that one yet, but we'll be going there in a minute. and spiritual renewal and people you serve. So, Walt, the next topic is demeanor, behavior, and attitudes of a leader. Give us some insights from your course.
Okay. Thought. I am. I think, therefore, I am. Attitude. That alludes to attitude. Attitudes of leaders. Leaders, when you get with a person, is the smartest person in their group, that person actually needs another group. If I find out that I'm the smartest person in my group, I need somebody else in there that's smarter than me. I have to have somebody there to bounce off of, to throw ideas at, to get rebuttal. Because otherwise, I will get the big head or quote-unquote pride and think it's all about me when it really is not. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. The people that I serve, that I'm put in a position to serve, are the most important. It's not about me. It is about the attitude of service, humility, thinking of others more highly than I think of myself, just being a servant. We got to realize that it's not about us. It's about being a servant. What we have to give to others, if it's not anything else but respect, love. These are two very important areas that we, of attitude that we can display, as well as behavior. And it ties right into behavior. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you want somebody to pull out their 9mm and just come up to you, don't know you, no reason at all, and just shoot you in the chest? I don't think so. I know I would not take mine and go and shoot somebody in the chest for just no reason. I just woke up today and say, I'm going to shoot somebody. That's kind of crazy thinking. But the simple idea is to do unto others like you would have them to do unto you. It's an attitude. And your behaviors should be tied to your attitude. Now, everybody don't have a great attitude. Everybody don't have a loving attitude. Everybody don't have a quote-unquote Christian attitude, understanding all of that. But we're talking about to have a better quality of life. Your attitude is so important, and your behavior should be linked to it, and your demeanor. Not thinking more highly of yourself than you should. You can have all the degrees in the world, but that doesn't make you a better person. That says that you have followed a certain curriculum and you've got certifications in that, and that's what that means, that you have value. But you know what? You have value whether you get all of those certifications or not, because we are all created in the light, created man in his own image. Not physical image, because we know that God is not a man. He's a spirit. But the intellect, God has intellect, that character. There are things that differentiate him from anything and everything. But he loves us so much that he gives us an opportunity to learn of him and to project his character on the world.
Right, right. Well, Walt, you've given us a little bit of a refresher course. I'm sure there's some people listening today that hopefully they've been revived, so to speak, in their Christian walk. Interesting topic, demeanor, behavior, and attitude of a leader. Walt, if you don't mind, speak a little bit more on that.
Yes, attitude. Well, we hit those demeanor. Demeanor is very important. It's what you can bring to the table. It's not so much for what everybody else can do for you or what you can get out of the deal. The world has convinced us that it's all about what we can get out of the deal. And we find ourselves not very interested in anything unless we're going to get something out of it. But we need to kind of look at that again and see what is it that we can give. The word says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it starts off with God giving. You know, and he is the creator. So if he gives, that should be an indicator that his creation made in his image should do likewise, to learn how to give. Unfortunately, we live in a society that's all about take, survival. You know, we believe in the law of nature, survival of the fittest. The strong will prevail. In most cases, but not in all cases, we've seen it through history, that the quote-unquote strong men of history have all succumbed to their environment one way or the other. So it's not so much about survival of the fittest. It's surviving together, so that demeanor is so important. And the Word of God teaches us about demeanor. Think it not robbery. Well, Christ didn't think it robbery that when he came to earth that he was God and man always. Also, but he endured everything that mankind endured so that we would see an example that we could endure too. Through him, he sacrificed his life for us and was revived by God the Father in newness of life, so that we too can be revived in newness of life if we put our trust and faith in him, him being Jesus. And so it's so important, whether you want to think of, there again, whether you believe of this thing about the Christian journey or not. But one thing is certain. Everybody, and I said it at the beginning of the show, everybody believes in something. What I am 99.44% sure of, that everybody has a knowledge of God. Now, there's no such thing as, and I can prove that, there are only disobedient people. If there was no God, then atheists wouldn't have any reason to rebut the existence of God. Why would you even spend your time on it if you didn't believe that there was a God? So that's one of those theological discussions that calls for arguments within the body of Christ. There is unity. And my being on this show is all about unity, not to spark any controversy. Unity of thought, unity of purpose, unity within the body of Christ. My goal is, and that's what the goal of working within the church and leadership within the church is, to have harmonious unity. Not that it happens all the time, but that's the goal.
Right, right. Well, that's a very good goal. That is the only goal that there should be, one of the only goals anyway. Okay, next we talk about spiritual renewal. Talk to us about that.
Well, in this journey called life, we experience a lot of external influences, weather, clothing, cars, jobs, all these external influences, they have a tendency to draw us or to repel us. When things doesn't happen to us the way that we think they should, or accidents happen, these are occurrences, accidents. You might break a leg, break a hand. You might lose a job. You might lose a spouse, a loved one. You might get a promotion. All of these are influences, are the results of influences, and they have a spiritual effect on you. And most of the time, let's take the most common one. If you lose a loved one, if you have lost a spouse, or if you have lost a parent, this is an external influence that causes you sometimes to question the existence of God. And the most prevalent thing is, If God was so loving, why did he allow my mama to die? Why did he allow my dad to die? If he's such a God of love, why did he do this? Why did he do that? The problem that we get into when we get into that arena is we are the creature, and we are trying to question the creator. Makes no sense. How can the creature, or why does the creature feel that they have a right to question the creator? It's not about the creature. It's about the creator. So we need spiritual renewal. Things will happen that will lower our spirit, make us feel bad, terrible, that the world is against us, there's no reason to live. But then there comes spiritual renewal, which is found in the Word of God. When you go to the Word of God, you dive into it with the expectation that this is a roadmap, this is a guide for life. And if you go into it with that mindset, you will find a way out. This is spiritual renewal. You will find something there that will revive you, that will reinvigorate you, and to say, okay, I've been knocked down, but I'm going to get back up and keep marching. We fall down, but we get back up again. We're not perfect by no means. There's only been one perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And even Satan, using the world, tried to kill him, but that didn't work. He was raised again, and in doing so, actually defeated the power of death. The power of death was fear. For those of us who now believe in the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead, death has no more power over us. We don't fear death anymore. Death is a doorway. We know that you can't get out of this life. The only way you're going to have this life is to die unless Jesus returns again. And every man born of a woman will die. You can look back through history and see how many folks are. You see them die every day. This is a part of life. It's death. But just like death is a part of life, and there was an existence before you came into this reality, there is an existence when you depart from this reality. Not most of us don't want to think about that, but even though you don't want to think about it, that doesn't mean it's not true. That is something that we have to deal with, but the Word of God tells us how to deal with that. So all of that's in spiritual renewal. The Word helps us to revive our spirit. It gives us the magic word, hope.
Okay, that was very good, Walt. So we may touch back on some of these topics as we go along here. Got about another 15 minutes or so. But the topic people you serve, while people you serve, was one of the topics that you guys talked about in your course. Tell us a little bit about that, few highlights.
Okay, Dan, and I can relate that to my personal life. I've always, throughout my whole career, I've been in a area of service. Once I came out of college, I couldn't find a job, so I went into the military. Service. We're serving the country. Came out of the military, got a job teaching, serving the community, teaching our next generation. But I was teaching adult education. So I was teaching adults who missed some of the early education because they had thought, so I don't need this. And later on in life, you found out that if you did need that and you come back to get it, from that portion, serving in law enforcement, starting from the ground up, service. Every law enforcement organization motto should include to serve and to protect. That's what they were originally meant to be. I understand that we have gone outside the line. We got some blurred lines, and I'd be the first one to say that we got some issues. there are some problems. After 36 years in this arena, I know some of the problems that we have. But to move on from there, even after me serving through all of the ranks in law enforcement and then retiring from that and going to the local school system into an area of service again, being the director of safety and security for the whole Birmingham City school system that was comprised of about 46 schools, providing safety and security policies and procedures, enforcing policies and procedures within for that whole school system. So my life has always been about service. Within the local church, I started in the local church as being a quote-unquote bench member, doing nothing. And the Spirit of God moved me to begin to teach. Spirit of God prepared me through various classes. And then I became the assistant general superintendent for a number of years, learning how to serve the Sunday school better, to make, to cultivate believers, to cultivate disciples, followers of Christ, then to the position of general superintendent, to overall, to took me to another standard, to do more, to learn more of how I can serve the local church into making disciples for Christ. And even from there, going into the deacon ministry of the church. Well, in the black church, you know, a lot of people think that that's a very prestigious level in the local church, but all a deacon is a servant. And if you look in the Bible, the original duties for deacons in the original, in the Bible was to administer food for the orphans, to the orphans and widows, service. And so even that, my whole life has been about service. So in going through this course of leadership development, it just was a refresher and a refresher course, as well as learning more about how to be a better, more effective servant of Christ.
As far as some tidbits from the from the course on people you serve, any other things that you can, you know?
Oh yeah,
mention?
Oh yeah, you know, that's a good area. There are people you serve. You got to meet a person just like Christ did. You meet a person at their level. Christ dealt with everybody. If you read the Bible, you saw that even though he was God, he thought it no effect to deal with everybody. He dealt with the tax collectors, which the people of that day despised. He dealt with the prostitutes. He dealt with everybody. He met with people. And when you are dealing with people, get a chance to understand them, sit and talk with them. But more importantly, listen. Listen to their story. Most people want to be heard. If you learn the art of listening, that's a very good tool. And then as you listen, there might be some parallel areas in your life that you have overcome through the Word of God that might be able to help that person. So it's important that we listen and not look at one person more highly than others. Like the people there, I see you got a problem there in California, just like you got out here in the metropolitan area of Birmingham. You got homelessness, people living on the street. Howbeit, some do make it's a choice. Some do choose to live on the street, while others seemingly have no choice, and they take that route out. But nevertheless, you should not look, we should not look on a person that's living, that's homeless, as any different from anybody that lives in a high rise. The difference being that opportunities, some took advantage of opportunities, or opportunities came their way where they were able to take advantage of them and rise to a higher level. On the lower echelon, some were not exposed to certain opportunities or I wasn't ever brought into their sphere of influence or their sphere of life where they could not learn from it. And so they kept, quote unquote, low self-esteem because everybody around them, nobody was doing any better than the other one, and nobody was trying to pump the other one up. They were just all milling around the bottom. So we have to look at that as being having people whom we serve. We have to see what we're dealing with and try to offer them hope through the word of God.
Right, right. Well, that's you mentioned something, Walt. You mean there's homelessness in Birmingham?
Yeah, there's homelessness everywhere. You know, even in the Bible tells us that the poor will be with us always. And why? Because there are some people that are poor in spirit. And no matter how hard you try, they just will not, I don't say cannot, but because it's a choice, they will not allow themselves to think big. They will not allow themselves to believe that their circumstances can be better. And there are some that do. But for those who don't, that's why the poor will always be with us. It was not God's desire for any person to be poor. Because Jesus said that he came that we might have life and to have it more abundantly. Showed us the way and still is showing us the way to have it. But the thing that God gave us initially, which was free will, the right to choose, and oh my Lord, we are experiencing that all across America and the world right now. The right to choose. We have the biggest mess going on about masks, whether or not to wear a mask, whether or not to take a vaccine. It's personal choice. Personal choice. Yes. You're right. God gave us choice. But he gave that same choice to Adam and Eve and what they do with it. It's a matter
right,
of
right.
being obedient to God's word.
Right, right. Walt, you mentioned something I had never thought about, brought something to my mind. Poor in spirit. I've heard that, you know, and read it, never really considered it the way you just mentioned. Well, people are poor in spirit. It's hard to help them.
Absolutely. You know, we had this conversation some time back, but, you know, being where we were from Addisville, Alabama, you know, I got a little inkling at the end that I might want to be a lawyer. Didn't have no idea, because where we were from, I didn't know any lawyers. There were no lawyers in Addisville. If they were, they were white. They weren't going to deal with you, and you couldn't even afford them even if you had a legal matter. So I didn't have any idea of what being a lawyer was until I got to college and I started learning then what it takes to be a lawyer. Somewhere along the line, I got sidetracked into making money because I felt like the end product of going to college in the first place was to be able to make money and then, you know, to provide and make a pretty good, decent life for yourself. All it has done for me was to make a good life for myself and my family, and I'm most thankful to God because of that. But me being rich, had no desire. And everybody would call me, like, oh, you lying. No, man. I looked at it from a different standpoint. You know, problems come in life. Rich folk got problems. If you don't believe, ask somebody that's rich. Everybody got problems. Money doesn't alleviate you from the problems of life. It's this thing called life, period. Sin has, over years, mutated, over thousands of years, mutated to the point where it caused division. It caused the division in the first place. It separated us from the Father. It separated us from God. That's why Jesus had to come on the scene, because the first sin between Adam and Eve separated them from God the Father. Prior to the sin, they walked with God daily, talked with him. But after the sin, God gave them two commandments, and that was it. They were cut off, left to their own devices, but he was overwatching them.
So, Walt, we've got – I'm sorry, go ahead, Walt.
Yeah, I was just saying that in the whole process of things, sin was our biggest problem, and people don't want to look at that. And I would dare not try to argue with anybody about this problem. You're going to see things the way you want to see it. I seek to enlighten people according to the word of God, which is our roadmap for life, whether you believe it or not. It's a choice. I respect your choice. And if you want to cuss me out and tell me, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say, you know what I'll do? I'll kick the dust off my feet and say, okay, and move on. Because where that person don't want to hear, somebody else is eager to hear.
Right. Walt, we got a couple more minutes, but anything that's on your heart that you want to share today before we close it out?
What I would like to really share is with all of us is to develop a personal relationship with God. How do you do that? First, you have to acknowledge that there is a God and realize that he loves us. Love caused him to create mankind in the first place, and that he gave us a special gift of free will. And even when we use that free will to disobey him, his love didn't leave us. His love stayed with us. But his love wouldn't allow him to change the circumstances. His love allowed him to create a situation where that we could come back and get a right standing with him. For he said that there could be no shedding, there could be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So he came up with a plan to send his son, Jesus Christ, who came through the regular birth process, being overshadowed, impregnated, overshadowed, not by man, sinful man, but the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus, in many manuscripts and even in the Bible, was called Son of Man. But he came being not of a corruptible seed, but of a pure seed, and him shedding his blood was the only pure sacrifice that could satisfy the need for forgiveness of sin and the only remedy for forgiveness of sin, because we saw in the Bible that there were sacrifices done all through history. Ox's blood, and in some cultures they even sacrificed people. Oh, my God. But anyway, trying to satisfy sin, but God gave the only perfect sacrifice, which was his son. His son died for our sins. He was resurrected into the newness of life. And we are told by God that we can have that same newness of life by our belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. First, you got to realize that you need a Savior. You can't live in this world alone. There's just no way. For those people who go into the Antarctic and try to live up there, it don't work. You die. Still going to die. We will created to live in community. If we love each other, we will satisfy the law of love. First law says that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is your neighbor as yourself. So the whole
we're gonna have to close it out for a second, but thank you, Walt, for coming on the show today. And I look forward to having you on again. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. And be sure to tune in next week. Hopefully we'll have another good show for you.
Thank you.